Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No green.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You gotta rise above it. Mm-hmm. You gotta harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube, youtube.com/1080 AM The Fan. Good morning. 7 a.m. hour, almost right on the dot.
Right there. We were close. Missed it by a nose.
I listened yesterday to Danny and Dusty. Dusty's back in the seat.
Oh, he's back in the saddle now,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Has he hired himself? What if he did that? What if he went, who was the Kevin Spacey character in Horrible Bosses? He's got the big promotion. He's supposed to give to Bateman's character. He said, I have decided who's going to be our assistant, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I have named myself because I have found if you want to get anything done around here, you got to do it yourself.
Just pull a Pete Weber. Who do you think you are?
I am. So after long thought, after all the interviews and the process, I have decided I will be hiring myself to host Noon to 3.
Could you imagine that would be pretty funny. Revealed?
Dude, there'd be a hell of a heel turn.
That'd be so
that
good.
Be fantastic content. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of hoping it happens. It'd be pretty funny.
We asked earlier the most random sports autograph that you have, and we got some good ones on Twitter. We got a Tom Rathman. We got a Kurt Warner Chevrolet.
Dude, a Tom Rathman autograph's badass.
That is badass.
I want a Tom Rathman autograph.
I 100% agree with you.
How much do you want for it? I'll give you $25 Venmo right now. Can I have that thing?
You would pay somebody $25
I think
on
I'd
Venmo?
Pay $25 on Venmo. What's signed? Is it a football? Is it a piece of paper?
Let me tweet him back.
Follow-up question necessary there. If it's a signed, like, picture, I'd $25 on Venmo right now.
What's the thing that gets you to not want it?
Something that doesn't have anything with Tom Rathman on it. Does that make sense? Like a napkin? You saw him at a diner. It's an autographed Tom Rathman napkin. I don't think I want that. But if it's a football, a helmet, a picture, a card, I'm all in.
God, I cannot spell. I just wrote Venom. I'm having a trouble.
Venmo, right now. I got you, dog.
All right. Well, we got Tom Rathman. We got Kurt Warner Chevrolet, the running back from the Seahawks from Ortner.
Did you buy a car from him?
He definitely didn't.
No.
Kurt Warner Chevrolet used to have random people pop in, though. I remember one that I missed. It was right before he died. Dale Earnhardt showed up.
Did he really? A Kurt Warner Chevrolet?
Kurt Warner Chevrolet. Dale Earnhardt did an autograph signing, and I remember thinking, dude.
The Intimidators. Is that what they call them? Was that his nickname?
Yeah. I couldn't get a ride there. And I think, like, the next year or 2 years later, he ended up dying in the Daytona.
Just missed that by a nose, too.
Dusty, the brand man, did chime in. Kristen McLemore, a personalized inscription to me that my dad got at a Portland Forest Dragons event prior to their first season. I never met him, and he never played for the Forest Dragons.
That is a part of the, I don't know. I've never been into many thrift shops. There's a handful in my neighborhood. I know there's some all over Portland. Who's got the Forest Dragon gear? I want to rock some Forest Dragon gear.
Do you?
Does that exist in a thrift shop anywhere?
I don't know.
Anybody got those hats? The logo was badass. It was kind of a cool moment in Portland history.
I want to say,
what did we last? 2 years? How long were the Portland Forest Dragons around?
They used to practice at Park Rose.
Did they? They come out in your neck of the woods?
Did we see random grown men who were like, who's playing on our football field?
Those are the Forest Dragons.
And yeah, our coaches.
If we ever get an NFL Dragons team, they have to be the Forest Dragons.
The Gridiron Project.
Yes, make it happen.
Somebody says, my buddy has a signed picture with OJ, and this was before 94.
Oh.
Imagine the Nicole Kidman stuff with OJ that you're like, all time awesome.
All time. Heisman Trophy winner, Hall of Famer OJ Simpson.
Somebody says,
Naked Gun actor.
When I was at UO, I worked at the autograph table for the Prefontaine Classic.
Ooh, that's cool.
And I've got Gail Devers and Michael Johnson, but I also got random ones like shot putter Josh Godina.
Well, I've never heard of two of those three, but a Michael Johnson autograph's pretty cool to have.
D'Antonio Winfield is been chimed in, and Billy Ripken.
Billy Ripken.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
How about that? We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
We do.
You can chime in. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so any and all questions are welcome at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. We'll get to it coming up at 8:15. Game 5 NBA Finals last night. And this one was interesting. It kind of was starting out and going about the way we thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
The Thunder established themselves. They go up big.
Up by 14, I think, at the half.
J-Dub is having a tremendous game for himself. And then the third quarter, and then T.J. McConnell happens.
T.J. McConnell, baby. He was slapping the floor all over the place last night.
I'll give you a take.
Gym rap.
I think Pascal Siakam wins finals MVP if the Pacers win. In fact, I feel fairly confident in saying that.
He was really good in the fourth quarter of that game.
I don't think it's crazy to suggest TJ McConnell would maybe finish second in that category if the Pacers won it.
His numbers have been really solid. He's had moments up and down. He was huge for them in game three. He was big for them in game one when they came back and won. He was outstanding last night.
What did he have, 12 or 14 in the fourth quarter of that game?
I thought it was...
Or in the third quarter, excuse me.
14, I
was
thought.
Was it 14?
And I think Siakam had 12 in the fourth.
He was responsible for 18 points with assists and scoring in the third quarter.
He was unbelievable last night in that third quarter. And he not single-handedly, but for the most part.
He might be the most effective pacer at getting his own shot right now.
He's been pretty good.
I don't think you're wrong about that.
And he hasn't been scared away from doing it either.
No.
No.
Take a shot, buddy.
He's been aggressive. He's been smart.
He's gone right at Chet a couple of times.
He's got the weight advantage on Chet.
That's
super hot.
He can bully him down on the block. Oh.
T.J. McConnell's sister, pretty hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's in the WNBA.
Oh, okay.
But he has a great third quarter. Pascal hits a three. It was 95-93, and we're like, my God.
They're going to do it again.
They're going to do this.
And, of course, who bet it this time when they didn't actually do it? Down by 16 in the second quarter. I'm like, I'm not missing this one again.
Do you remember the odds?
It had to have been
plus 600, right?
I think right as I locked it in, they made a shot, and it was like, you have to accept your new odds. I'm like, damn you, DraftKings. This is so stupid. My bet was in. I was clicking the button. I think it was plus 800.
It had to have been pretty high.
Let me see. Let me go to my lost bet tickets.
Yeah.
Settled bets.
You got to scroll through those, don't you?
There's a lot of them in here as I'm waiting for my app to load. It was plus 800. They hit a three right as I locked in the bet, and it took it to plus 600.
Okay.
And then at that point, I'm like, I've already made the bet, but this is dumb. It should have been plus 800.
Six to one odds, and they come back 95-93.
Here we go. They're going to do it again, baby.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
Thunder defense, Jalen Williams, SGA, everybody just Caruso all over, diving everywhere.
Sometimes there's a play that sticks out like a sore thumb where you're like, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
So what is it for you? Because I wrote it down. I have this one.
For me, it was they cut it to two. And I don't know if that was the moment it was 95-92. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
They cut it to two. Jalen Williams hit a three on the other side to push it back to a five-point game. And on the ensuing possession, I believe it was Nembhard had a miscommunication with Halliburton. He thought he was cutting one way. He cut the other way, basically passed it to nobody, and it was a breakaway dunk for OKC. And as quickly
98-93.
And as quickly as they cut it to
7:49 left.
Just like that, they were back down, and the crowd got into it. Carlisle called a timeout, and you're like, dude, you had the ball with a chance. I mean, I guess not to take lead because you're down by five, but you're right there in the mix and you give him an easy dunk the other way, and it felt like momentum kind of swung back in the favor of OKC.
Well, now my computer just completely screwed up.
That's always a good thing to happen live on the air.
Why does this do this? Why do I have a pop-up? It's blocking my whole thing.
Ooh, too much porn over there, Dan. Porn.
No, it's not. Here is mine, actually. Despite it being 95-93 and then just the onslaught run, four straight steals,
yeah,
and just bludgeoning them in the fourth after that moment, I'm going to give you one from the end of the third. I wrote it down. I thought it was massive. The Pacers pushed them. They got back in this game. Third quarter, 15 seconds left. It's 85-79. Feels like, man, a three here would just
down by
carry
three.
Them.
Oh my God, yeah.
Same guy. Andrew Nembhard. Bad pass, turnover. Jalen Williams finishes at the other end. 87-79. Yeah. Third quarter ends. Now they did cut it to 95-93.
They did.
But that in the moment, the way the momentum had swung in that third.
Yeah.
I watched that. And the Nembhard turnover in the fourth, I was like, Dude,
just be on the same page. You can't hand away easy twos at that point in the game.
Jalen Williams had 40 points.
He did.
He was stellar in this. I think they have collectively as a team, whether they win or lose the series, I think they've proven, like, don't trade any of these dudes.
No, they'll be
run
back.
This back.
They'll all be back next year.
Second youngest title team ever. The Trailblazers 77, the only one slightly younger than this Thunder team. Halliburton might be injured. He logged an offer.
Not good in the NBA Finals, Bob.
He's not
hard
been
to
great.
Win a game when your best player goes 0 for 6 from the floor.
I said it yesterday. He needed 25, I think, for them to win. They lost 120-109.
Is he back to being overrated again? We went from game one game winner. Now he's back to overrated in game five.
I don't think he's overrated. I don't think anybody was putting him in like a top five category. No. But he's going to be one of these guys that largely hovers in and out of the top 10. Look, I get the injury part, but like if you play, you play.
The expectations are there if you're on the floor.
LeBron says he's injured and everybody laughs at him because he lost. Yeah. And, oh, he's injured now. Oh, yeah, right. Well, if this dude's injured, I can't give it an out. He's on the court. You can't be 0-for from the field, man.
No.
You just can't be. He was awful last night.
Some of the most famous games in final history have happened when guys have been dealing with things. The Jordan flu game is one of the most iconic moments in the history of the NBA, whether it was food
Willis
poisoning,
Reed.
Willis Reed,
right.
You had Isaiah
Paul
Thomas
Pierce
on the
pooping.
Broken ankle, Paul Pierce yep. pooping his pants. There's a lot of these over the years.
one of these things, not like
hey, pooping your pants is not something to joke about, okay? We've all done it, we've all been there, and it's not an easy thing to overcome.
Dirt, he got carried off.
Look,
by
he pooped
his
pants in white shorts, man. You got to protect yourself a little bit there. You can't be walking off.
The real theory has to be that he didn't want it rolling out, right? Like, that's why they picked him up and held his knee up.
Reminds me of something Teddy Ballgame did yesterday. He's really into putting his hands down his diaper. I don't know if that's like a day he sees dad
right
with
the front
his.
Of the pack.
Both. He just hands all over down there. And it's like, dude, get
smudge.
Your hands out of your diaper.
That's smudge.
What are you doing, buddy?
To a T,
dude,
man.
Yesterday his hands were down his pants and he pulled his
you
little.
You got any dolls or
maybe
bears
he's
in that
be a
bedroom?
German soccer coach.
He could. Yeah, he's sniffing his fingers afterwards. He did play with some poop of his own the other day. He did that on Father's Day. That was delightful.
You're going to come home, Andy. What I saw him doing to that bear.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know he knew what that
was. He was humping a pie in the kitchen. And he got his hands down his pants. He somehow managed to pull his little ween out of his diaper, like got it, like wiggled it free to where it was like poking up in front of the diaper. And all of a sudden he's in his room and he comes running. I was sitting on the couch yesterday. He comes running out into the living room and he says to me, uh-oh. And I'm like, uh-oh, what, buddy? What'd you do? And I see a little wet spot on his stomach. And I'm like, oh, did you kind of seep through your diaper? Like, what happened? Like, let's go change your diaper, buddy. He's like, uh-oh. He said it again. And then as I pick him up, I realize he is in the process of peeing, and his unit is just out there. There's nothing protecting it, and it's all over the place. So speaking of pooping your pants, that happened to me yesterday. Fun little anecdote this morning of fatherhood. Happy Father's Day out there to everybody.
We've all been there.
All right, let's go clean this up. This will be fun at 11 o'clock on a Monday afternoon.
So Halliburton's hurt.
Got a calf issue.
Dude, he, like, you've got to the point last night where.
You can't.
What did I
don't know how we got from Halliburton calf injury.
Well, we talked about pooping our pants. I just thought about.
Son being diaperless, pissing everywhere.
Just peeing everywhere. Uh-oh. Like, yeah, dude, that's an uh-oh, man. When does it get to a point when you take him out?
Well, you can't. You have to. With a
he is poor. Like, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't move. He couldn't make a shot. Like, I get it. He's the face of the franchise.
You can't
it's the NBA.
Best,
He's not their best player,
well,
though.
Well, debatably your best player.
Not right? anymore.
Not right now. But so debatably your best player.
If you get this in the first half, your season is on the line. I don't care about the optics
of it. I think it's more
it.
Has to do if...
T.J. McConnell outplayed him in spades yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, he was
it's not even a debate.
Best player. Yeah.
Well, I think it's more defensively. If he can't function defensively because he can't move that leg and he can't stay in front of
everybody.
He
can't get his own shot off. He can't stay in front of anybody.
Here's
like,
my thing. I see him move and sometimes I'm like, are you hurt? But then I watch him sometimes, and I'm like, you look a little hurt. I can't tell.
When he falls down, he grimaces. I mean, I'm sure he shot it up with all sorts of pain medication.
Can I ask you guys this? Do you feel
Because they're cooked if they don't have... I mean, it's over. It's probably over anyway.
I personally think the series is over, but I think Indy's going to fight like hell in Game 6. It's a home game, right? So we can't dismiss it completely. I do feel like they're reffing these teams differently, though. Do you? I feel like they're allowing more physicality with OKC.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
And I feel like they're nitpicking, like, the Neesmith one. I mean, to start the game, you could say, absolutely, that's a foul in the regular season. Him and Dort going for the ball. Dort gets it. He falls out of bounds. Instant foul on Neesmith.
Yeah.
I'm telling my brother-in-law, I love Neesmith. Just wish he'd stop fouling. That dunk putback he had where nobody knew he made it.
That was pretty cool.
Good Lord.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, does Breen need new glasses? He totally
I don't think the broadcast...
Doris saw it.
Well, Doris was like, Mike, did he make that? And I tell you right now, I was watching on the broadcast. I thought he made it, but I wasn't 100% confident.
I wasn't certain that it would... Yeah, that he made it.
Did you? You thought that was easy... You could tell he put that back? I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Oh. I was... Yeah, finally got home and was watching at that point. And yes, it was... Yeah, he climbed right up his back. Now, he could have been called because he... launched himself off of Chet's shoulder.
I didn't think that was... See, that's my thing is I think they're allowing physicality for OKC a little more so than Indiana. Do you guys feel that way or am I alone here?
No, I just think... And that's part of the scrutiny watching the finals versus, you know, game 42 in February is they're very technical about the what contact occurs and does it allow a player an advantage versus just two guys running into each other.
Yeah.
That's the problem because two guys can run into each other full speed, but if it's random and they're both going for the ball and nobody gains an advantage, they're going to let it go.
Yeah.
But if somebody somehow gains an advantage or they're looked at as leveraging the physicality to move a guy, even though it's less contact, they'll call the foul.
The right thing about officiating at this point is that I view NBA officiating almost like holding in the NFL. Like, you could call a foul on every play. There's a foul every play. Somebody grabs an arm, hip, it just does something in the process of driving to the hoop where you could blow the whistle. I do feel like it is favoring one team over the other. Now, I don't think foul calls and free throw discrepancy would point to that.
I don't know what the totals have been.
I think
been
they ended
so
up
far.
Relative. I'd have to go game by game, but I know last night it was relatively close last night. Now, a lot of it went to SGA. I think he went to the free throw line 14 or 15 times, and Williams went to the foul line a ton.
It was 25-24, so they were just called for one less foul than the Pacers.
So foul call totals pretty similar. I'd imagine then free throws were pretty similar, too, if that's where the foul calls were. I think part of it is
32-30.
So I tend to agree with you, but there's not a lot of evidence out of a game like that that backs it up. I do think part of it is it's the SGA thing. I mean, when he goes to the foul line, that's a lot of free throws.
I'm not saying it's why they won, by the way. I just think there's...
They won because Halliburton couldn't score. I mean,
and Williams was awesome.
And Jalen Williams was incredible last night. Indiana can't win a game on the road in this. It was remarkable that they were even down two, considering that Halliburton didn't make a field goal.
I couldn't believe it.
That's insane that they were even in that basketball game, and it's a credit to McConnell and the way he played. And then here was Mathurin after his huge game 2 games ago. He's now made a total of 3 field goals in the next 2
games.
He's
missing free throws, too. I don't get it.
He misses free throws. He was 2 of 11. Like, he was horrible last night.
But at least, I'll say this about him. It's not good to be 2 of 11. At least he's being aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, Halliburton shot, what, 6 or 7 times?
6 times. He was 0 for 6.
6 times?
0 for 6.
Like, even if you're 0 for 14, you can't shoot just 6 times.
He just stopped trying, man. And they got a great game from Siakam in the fourth quarter, too. Siakam in the fourth was insane.
He
went
like
off.
Hell.
Finally had one of those. I think he had 12 or 14 points in the fourth quarter. He was outstanding. It just, when you're playing with a hand tie behind your back because your best player can't make a field goal, you're not going to win a game on the road in the NBA Finals.
We're a little over. We're back with more Dirt and Sprague. Maybe a little bit more finals talk next on The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Well, we have a lot to get to. Want to remind you guys that your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th Annual Fangolf Classic out at Langdon Farms, which is also brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers, coming up on June 24th, which is a Tuesday. Time is running out. You got to hurry up. Foursomes are running out. We were given a number yesterday, and I'll just say this. Limited. Very, very limited at this point. You better hurry.
Yeah.
The afternoon round is sold out. Out. Victor Rico's will have breakfast burritos before you tee off. Matt's Barbecue will have you set after the round. Toyota is sponsoring a hole-in-one challenge on the 13th hole, which I believe is almost a 200-yard par 3.
Which hole is it again? Sorry,
13.
Say that again. 13.
It's like a 185 to 190, depending on the pin.
No, 13's not that long.
You sure?
You're thinking of 17. 17's the longer par 3.
Yeah, 17's the long one.
13's the one with a little pond down there on
the left.
That's
the one with the water.
Yeah, it's got a little water on it. Not quite that long.
Oh, yeah.
Probably it's a 175-ish, 170-ish from the whites, I'd say.
I've played Langdon more times than I can count, and I'm finding out every single day that I have...
I could walk you hole by hole through that thing. I could do that any golf
course. Well, I know all the holes. Yeah. I kind of forget sometimes the back and forth with the tunnel
thing.
Well,
we're trying to figure out what to do on 12. We have an available hole on 12, and we're trying to kick around ideas of what to do, and we were at beers on Friday, and we were all trying to describe what the 12th hole was.
You could text in at 503-864-6326. What should we do with our 12th hole?
Yeah, we gotta come up with something fun.
We got to fill it with something.
Yeah.
registration ends Sunday.
It does. It's almost over. It's almost here.
So head to 1080thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo and sign your team up and let us know, how do we fill our 12th hole? You can let us know at the fan text line. Also, you can chime in with the mail sack questions.
Yes.
Any and all questions are welcome at the mail sack. We'll get to it at 8:15. We don't need to dive into the Jalen Williams, Shaedon Sharpe draft stuff, though I always want to do that because I watched that last night and I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
Well, he did fall 12. To be fair to us, we weren't the only team. If you redraft that draft, that dude now, knowing what we know...
would have gone higher than 12, is that what
you're
telling
me? My lordy.
Probably would have been drafted ahead of Shaedon Sharpe, who didn't play any college basketball, and that was a pretty bad draft to begin with.
Well, my brother-in-law, who, again, is an avid diehard, everything is good Blazers, he says Shaedon was a swing, and I said, yeah, well, so would have Jalen Williams. He played from a small school.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you the school. Where did Jalen Williams come from?
Santa Clara? Santa Clara, yeah. I remember they were tourney team, weren't they?
Yeah, I saw him up close and personal just torching the pilots.
Are you shocked by this, though, seeing him do this in the NBA, 40 points in a finals game?
Yeah, I couldn't have predicted this, that he would be a successful player in the NBA.
He's a 6 foot five wing. He averaged 18 points per game his last year, and he shot 40% from three.
And I know
51% from the floor.
I know he doesn't jump as high as Shaedon, but with his physicality, he's every bit as athletic, if not more.
His senior year at Santa Clara, he was their best rebounder in terms of when he decided he wanted to go get rebounds. Now, sometimes, I mean, they had some seven-footers, so there were guys that collected more just because they were by the rim. But if you needed to go get a rebound or an offensive rebound, keep a possession alive, get a possession, he was the guy that went and got
it. I think the thing I hate about it the most is Sam Presti's probably going to get his first championship as a general manager. The Thunder look like they're poised to win this thing. And it's not even the ring that makes me the most happy if I'm Presti. I'm walking away going, yes, my Pippen is scoring 40 in a finals game.
I mean, it's huge. That was the whole question about them is, can their Robins show up? Can their number twos be true number twos or number threes that lead you to a championship? I think that was the biggest question about OKC going into the playoffs. And while they at times had bad moments or bad games or bad performances,
yeah, they certainly did.
Needed them the most, a la a huge pivotal game five at home, and all of a sudden it's a two-point game in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying SGA wasn't outstanding last night. He had a good game, but Jalen Williams was the story, and that was your number two. And when you get that in the NBA Finals, you're really hard to beat.
I think ESPN is on to us. I think the Blazers and ESPN are on to us, because if Gavoni puts out a mock with his name attached to Portland, we're all going to assume that's the Schmitz pick.
Yes.
So they're having Jeremy Wu make the Blazer pick. Smart move.
Friend of the program.
Jeremy Wu, good friend of the program. The latest mock is out. The draft is in 8 days. Care to guess who we're drafting at 11? We mentioned Jalen was a 12th pick, or the 12th pick.
Yeah.
Maybe we find our Jalen Williams at the 11th pick.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we're drafting a point guard.
Kind of.
Kind of.
A sort of guard.
Oh, we got a sort of guard.
A swing guard.
Oh, we got nice.
Who's on the court? He'll play any position you need.
He can do it all for you, Bob.
Kasparis Giakoumidis is the latest mock to the Portland Trailblazers at 11. 6'4" 3/4" without shoes. So 6'5" guy.
Big, tall guy.
Close to 6'6". He's about 200 pounds. And we've talked about him before, about his skill set. And now he's not just true point guard. He's a swing guard. So he can play your one. He can play the two. Maybe with the right personnel, could swing at the three a little bit here and there.
Yes.
So it seems like we're going to get an Igor.
Yegor.
A Yegor. Or a Kasparis.
And both of them primarily are point guards, which is just a little ironic and funny.
Yegor, I know they're bigger, more of just a true point guard.
I know the body sizes Kasparis are different than your traditional point guard that we have gotten used to over the years, undersized and below 6 foot two. At least these guys are taller and more athletic and longer. So I will give this front office credit for that. I will continue to ask the main question, and that is, what are the other moves that happened this offseason if either of those guys are your draft picks? But it does sound like there's a lot of smoke with Kasparis. Like, that just seems like every mock that I'm reading right now.
It feels like it's very loud.
It's building.
He's
getting very loud.
He's in the 10 to 15 range, according to ESPN. Playmaking, versatility, intangibles.
And it'd be pretty surprising if he went ahead. And, like, if he went top seven, I think that'd be a pretty surprising selection at this point.
But if he's 10th to Houston,
he very well could be one pick before.
They kind of need something like him.
Again, it depends on what the rest of their offseason moves are and what they're looking at.
The Rockets are drafting Carter Bryant in this mock.
Carter Bryant going one ahead of us.
Get pissed.
Carter Bryant becoming the next big thing in Houston is going to be our thing that we complain about with the draft.
Well, they're going to have
at least we wouldn't have had the opportunity to draft him. We had the chance to get Jalen Williams 3 years ago.
They have two Amen Thompsons potentially.
They do.
If Carter Bryant plays the way Swag thinks he's going to play and how some draft pundits, imagine them with two Amen Thompsons and a Kevin Durant.
A wing that develops an offensive game and, you know.
6 foot seven and a half and just rangy and long and athletic.
What's that guy?
Dude, his wingspan, Carter Bryant's, is 6'11 and 3/4".
It is pretty wild that the NBA draft is
8 days.
Week from tomorrow.
I know, it's nuts.
It's like, I feel like this is a lot of, am I wrong on that? That this is a lot earlier than it normally is? Or is this always when it falls? Is it always the last week of June?
Yeah, it's usually the week after the NBA Finals set Game 7.
Yeah, this is
okay.
Normal.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess we got to wait. So Thursday would be Game 6, well, will be Game
Sunday
6.
Sunday would be Game 7
then
if
Sunday
it gets
would
there.
Be Game 7. So you would go Sunday to, like, the NBA season could end if it goes to 7 on Sunday, and then you'd have your draft on Wednesday.
Yep.
I love the quick turnaround because it's at top of mind. You're ready to go. There's already trades that are happening. There'll probably be more. So I like that there's a quick turnaround. It's just like, all right, here we go off season.
Kasparis or Yegor? Feels like those are the two top.
I mean, based on the current construct of the roster, I would lean Kasparis because he can do more than. I think the Demon question is he's not a great shooter and he's a primary point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Scoot is not a great shooter and a primary point guard. So is Scoot Henderson in your long term plans?
He is next year.
Okay. So
I think it's a year-to-year thing at this point.
You're just drafting a taller version of the guard that you just drafted third overall. A guy who's also not an elite shooter who has to have the ball in his hands in order to be an effective playmaker.
The difficulty I have with this is the last point guard you drafted, you're already telling me you're not sure about.
2 years in, you might be drafting another one.
Yeah, so why should I trust your evaluations on
you
this
You shouldn't,
one?
Bob. You shouldn't. Question and then verify.
Casperus.
With everything.
Yakachonis!
Just blindly say these guys know what they're doing.
Yakachonis, very blazery jersey. I could see that.
Yakachonis is a good blazer jersey.
That's also a jersey that in 10 years we go, dude.
God, remember that pick?
I saw Yakachonis in the wild.
Remember that Luke Babbitt draft pick when he had those high socks? Remember that? That was our draft pick.
Hope I'm wrong, though. Hope he's a good player.
I do, too. He's more. I mean, it makes more sense with the current construct of the roster. If Scoot Henderson is going to be traded this offseason, then go ahead and take the Demon kid. I don't care.
They're not going to trade Scoot this summer. You think they're going to trade him?
I don't think they're going to do anything, so no, but somebody should go. Somebody's got to go.
Rupert?
I mean, he doesn't really matter because he hasn't played in the NBA. Well, I know he's played, but you get my point. One of the guards has to go this offseason, right?
Point of the segment, you might be asking.
Right?
It's nice to have a Jalen Williams on your team.
Yeah, if only we had a chance to take him.
Don't do that.
Took a slam dunk pick who didn't play any college basketball.
We have a lot to get to. The mail sack at 8:15. We got our FUP date, of course, but we're back with more.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got more random autographs that are rolling in today.
There's some good ones out there, man.
It's pretty solid. Somebody texted in, I got Billy Sims, Jason White's autograph when Oklahoma played Oregon in 2006.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Billy Sims would be an awesome autograph to have, I feel like.
Okay.
Somebody texted in, where did this go? We got a lot of them jumbled
so far
together.
Rathman guy has not responded.
Hasn't responded? Get back to me, Rathman guy. Somebody said, I got Steve Young's autograph on a $100 bill. I met him at an airport on a layover when I was 14. And all you had for him to sign was, I guess, a $100 bill.
Well, I mean, in the moment, you got to look around. You say, what do I?
It's Steve Young. I'm not going to miss the opportunity to get Steve Young's autograph.
That is truly the Randy Jackson sword autograph. It's like, you're not going to not get Steve Young's autograph.
All I got is $100. I'm going on vacation. All I got is a $100 bill, and let's get that thing signed. That's a pretty cool backstory, though. Like, you get that framed $100 bill in a case. Why do you have a random autograph? Well, it's Steve Young, of course.
That would be a very random thing framed. Why is this totally $100 bill framed? Who is that?
Totally random. So you can keep responding with all of those. I did want to read the Jeremy Wu snippet here. So his mock draft just came out. Here are the picks.
Well, him and Gavoni's.
Him and Gavoni,
yes. Joint venture. Gavoni's not going to do the Blazer pick because everybody and their mom has obviously linked that when Gavoni picks a player to the Blazers,
we know what's going on.
We largely think that's the Mike Schmitz pick.
The center for Duke is going 8th overall to Brooklyn in this latest. What was it? Malachi. Wow.
The noise over, or we could keep going. Yeah, come on, Malawach.
Okay.
Thank you.
Finally
I mixed it. I had his last name as his first name for a minute there. That's why I on-air farted.
Okay. The ninth overall pick. Makes me think of, we were at the Timbers game on Friday. Why do some soccer players get away with doing the one name thing? And should we have more of those in the NBA?
Well, I asked Chuck, who is our new Evander?
We have Anthony, who I bet on to score the first goal.
I think he's got a real full name. We just call him Anthony.
That's all that's on his back of his jersey, just Anthony. Is that his last name? Is that his first name? I want to know.
Also, did you catch Colin Wilson dropping the little engine that could reference on Coastal Carolina?
I did, yeah.
Did somebody text in that, hey, they won in 2016, brother?
Everybody's
Colin Wilson covers the sport, you know.
Ninth pick in this mock draft to Toronto. Let's try this pronunciation. Noah Asengue?
Asangu.
Asangu. Okay, he's a power forward from Germany.
I love when we don't get names right. That Swag has told us 9 times.
He's told me that
15
times, yeah. Like, I'm not watching a lot of BBL. You watch a lot of BBL?
The Basketball Bundesliga League.
you watching the BBL? You glued to the BBL?
Gundy is high on this cat.
Gundy watches the BBL.
Gundy swears that this Gundy's cat got is problems. The real deal Holyfield. He's 6'10 barefoot. He has a 7'1 wingspan. He's a 4.
Well, tough luck, Bob. He's going off the board two picks before you. He's gone to Toronto, 9th overall. You can't draft him.
Swag, the Duke guy's name is Malawach, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Malawach.
Yeah.
Come on,
the whole
Malawach.
Time.
Yeah, come on, Malawach.
Then he's got Carter Bryant going 10th to Houston, as we highlighted in the last segment. Just missed him by a hair.
That will infuriate.
If him and Amen Thompson become wrecking balls defensively.
That's a good thing they're in the Western Conference. It's not like we got to get through them in the Western Conference, so that's good.
My brother-in-law was rooting for the Thunder last night. I was utterly disgusted.
That's horrible.
I'm rooting for the Thunder.
Why?
Why?
I just that basketball team. They're a really good basketball team to watch.
Yeah, nobody disagrees with that. They're the best team in the NBA.
They're in our conference.
I understand
They're the Thunder. It's Oklahoma City. That's dirty.
So tired of hearing about how great their
Indiana's
fans
a great, passionate city that's been closed so many times
like
over the years.
We get it. They're loud.
Yeah. Wow.
Enough.
All they've known is 3 MVPs and winning.
Oh, they've had such tough
luck
as fans.
They're gifted Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden upon their existence.
Saw some highlights from the Russ Carmelo
era.
Immediately
in an NBA Finals.
Empty seats third quarter.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, look at that. When they're not, you know, the number 2 or 3 or 1 seed.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. They're
fans
not there.
Aren't showing up to every game like diehards.
Paul George. Get the hell out of here.
It is loud in here.
Yeah, we get it. It's loud everywhere in the NBA Finals. Kasparis Jakachonis is the mock to Portland. Here is the Jeremy Wu assessment. The Blazers are set up front for the foreseeable future with Donovan Klingon at center. They don't have an express positional need, but players such as Jakachonis, Bryant, and others could all be available and bring broadly different skill sets. Jakachonis' unselfish style and ability to enhance ball movement would help Portland's backcourt mix with players such as Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, and Anfernee Simons, all more scoring-oriented. Mm. He could feasibly slide into multiple playmaker lineups alongside other guards in a more connective role. Jakachonis appears ticketed for the 10 to 15 range with his playmaking versatility and intangibles holding strong appeal in a variety of context.
Mm-hmm.
There is the Jeremy Wu assessment of our pick, Jakachonis. Derek Queen goes 12 to Chicago.
I want nothing to do with Derek Queen, and he can end up being a good player, but thanks, but no thanks. It doesn't make any sense for our team.
He's got Yegor Demon going 13th to Atlanta before some center goes to San Antonio, who is a guy I've never heard of before.
Jace Richardson's fallen a little bit in some of these mocks. I mean, he's not a very big player.
Please, for the love of God, don't take... You can't take Jace Richardson.
The surprise for me is Asa Newell at 18.
Yeah, that's a bit of a slip for him. I feel like the conversations he's been in, he's worked out in Portland.
He's done a lot. Well, there's a lot of lottery noise with him, but if he slips to 18, that's a little bit of a fall. Ace Bailey has also fallen in this mock.
Yes, he is. He continues to fall.
He falls to 6 to Washington. I guess the report on him is he won't work out for all the teams in the top 5, which I just, why?
That's a bit of a thing. Why
he's an
would you
interesting
not do that?
Cat, man. Like, yeah. He's very confident.
Was he the one who was lying about his height all season?
It was Rutgers.
Yeah, not him directly,
not him.
But
Rutgers.
In the program it said he was like 6'10", and then they measured him, he's like 6'6".
He's 6'7", with shoes off, so he's about 6'8",
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
An Arius Bailey being successful would be pretty badass, but he's got question marks about his game.
Yeah, a lot of these guys do. That's the beauty of the draft. We'll wait and see a week from tomorrow.
I put a poll question up. Multiple mocks have been released for the draft, which is just 8 days away, and the two players that have showed up for your Trailblazers are Yegor Demon and Kasparis Jakachonis. Which one would you prefer, Yegor
or Yakach Onis.
Okay, go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter, and we'll give you the update on the results of that coming up at the end of the show. Got a lot still to get to in the show. Will the Stanley Cup be handed out tonight? We got that in our notes.
Oh, we got a follow-up on Rathman.
Oh, what do we got on Rathman?
It is a mail-in from 1990 or 91 Pro Set card. He's welcome to have it if I can actually find it.
Oh, you got to dig it up. $25 coming your way on Venmo. I'll take a Tom Rathman autograph.
That's pretty
card.
Badass.
That's a good deal. I feel like I'm making out on this trade. What do you think? $25, Tom Rathman?
You are making out, yeah.
I feel like that's a pretty good deal right there.
Yep.
I feel like I won this trade.
I do too.
Let's get to a question that came in yesterday that needs to be discussed because I think this person's a psycho, and we'll talk about that next on The Fam. I do like being around naked people. Being around naked people's fun. Welcome back in. 7:48. We'll get to the crazy impact of one person continuing to showcase itself in a moment. We talk quite often on the show about Jeff Rust and the takes that he comes up with, the thoughts that he has on sports, pop culture. It does not music. It does not matter. Jeff Rust is the king of the worst takes known to mankind.
Swag, you need to do me a favor. I need you to go to the logger. I need you to go to around 2:05 p.m. I need you to pull Jeff Rust's update. There's a blurb about the Men's College World Series. I need you to pull that for us.
We got a 2:05 update. What happened to be top of the hour here?
The brand man.
Uh-oh, the brand man running late.
Way off the clock yesterday.
Brand man running late.
But I heard this live, and I had to text him. I said, are you okay?
What was he trying to say?
The Men's College World Series.
Men's College World Series.
But right before that, he had already been like, bleh, 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 and then he's like, and then he called himself out in the middle of the update.
Well, I can't really talk right now, so more sports and scores and stories in 30 minutes.
Because I think I had a stroke.
Just wrap it up, dude. Wrap it up. If you can't get multiple words out in an update, just go ahead and punt. Okay?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with punting on fourth down. Don't throw a pick. Don't take a... Just punt. Punt it away.
Yeah.
Punt it away. So Jeff Rust is the king of the worst takes known to mankind. And
sure.
He comes up with a new worst take. Every week it's something new with him. He comes in and he rants and raves about something and we just look at him dumbfounded of how is it possible for one man to have another take that's worse than the take that he had last week,
mm-hmm.
but he finds a way to continue to up it. He sent us a question last night on social media.
Oh, did he?
Now, before I kill Jeff Rust for his take on this, I don't know if he specified what his...
His stance was?
His stance was.
Okay.
He just asked an open-ended question that seems like the easiest answer of all time, but I want to ask it nonetheless. And then we could follow up with Jeff Rust, because I'm sure he's listening. He asked a question. He said, you stop by an acquaintance's house in the suburbs. Okay? So like a family acquaintance. You're going over to their house. Pull up.
Family acquaintance to you is basically family, right?
Yeah, it's a friend, family friend. You know, not a family member, but if it's a family friend, right?
Okay.
They got a two-car wide driveway, so you can pull two different cars into the driveway.
I understand that's what that means.
That's what that means, just making sure everybody's on the same page.
I was wondering if it was four, but
it could be. Well, I mean, technically, if it's deep enough, you could get four in there. I mean, like if it's deep and long enough, and it's two-car wide, you could fit four in there.
Sure.
So, to the point.
12th hole.
You might be able to.
Right.
The driveway only has one car parked in it. Leaving room for a second.
Mm-hmm.
There's an open spot in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowner's second car is parked on the street.
Okay.
So they got one car parked in front of the house, one car in their two-car driveway.
Yeah.
So there is a spot available in the driveway to park.
Okay.
You pull up. There is also ample, quiet, on-street parking. Do you park in the driveway of an acquaintance's house?
I'm not a psychopath. No, you park on the street.
Like, you got issues if you're parking
unless
in somebody's driveway.
Unless you have been directed otherwise
hey,
on
hey, come
a text.
Park in the driveway because it's a little busy or something.
So my sister-in-law, what it is, her parking situation's kind of crappy in her neighborhood, and her driveway is shared. There's like five or six houses in this little road, and so it's very narrow. Unless she tells us on a text, hey, we moved out of the driveway,
so you would have a spot.
There.
Yeah.
I never even think about it.
Never in a million years would I think about parking in somebody else's driveway.
This is the most universal thing. Like, there is not a person that realistically would ever do that. You have got to be an absolute psychopath.
You got to have issues.
To just take somebody's driveway spot. Doesn't matter why their car's not there. Unless directed otherwise, you take the road. That ain't your driveway,
it's
buddy.
It's not your driveway, man. It's like walking into somebody's backyard and cooking with their grill. You can't do that.
In fact,
I'm walking in and taking a shower in your house. It's my driveway.
I had a family event, and I moved my cars, and then everybody showed up.
and nobody was in the driveway. And I had realized I forgot to text.
That you could park in the driveway?
I even said, I went, I forgot to text to take the driveway.
Somebody go park in the driveway.
Because nobody does that. Yeah. You don't just take somebody's driveway spot.
No, the only time it ever happens is if you are going over to somebody's house, in your point, and it's an area where it is a difficult place to park. That happens. Some neighborhoods are that way, where there's not a lot of parking on side streets. And I do know some people who will, before people come over to their house, make sure their cars are on the street so there's an available parking spot. Because if you don't park there, somebody else might, and then there's nowhere to park near the house, and you say, just go ahead and pull into the driveway.
Well, you would only pull into the driveway, unless directed otherwise, you'd only pull into the driveway to do a drop-off.
Yeah, you're dropping something off.
If I got something in the car, or I'm dropping
a gift.
Yeah. Quick, like, pull in, drop the thing off, boom, I'm out of here.
I'm in and out.
Not using up your driveway spot.
For a hangout?
What are we doing here? So we need to follow up with Jeff Russ's stance on this, him asking the question and his history of bad takes. I'm putting two to two together that he thinks it's okay to park in the driveway, but I need to confirm that before I solely his name anymore.
Well, because I don't know why he would ask that unless that was his stance.
That's what I was thinking as well. If you're asking that question on social media and then tagging us in that tweet, that tells me that you're a driveway parker, and I got more questions about that. Pulling into somebody's driveway that's not your family. It's one thing if you're going over to your parents' house, you're going over to your brother's. Family members are different, I view it. Acquaintances?
13.6% of people on his poll question have voted yes.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, who do you think you are?
Especially with the caveat, there is ample quiet on-street parking. It's not something where there's nowhere else to park and there's nowhere else to go. You have options on the street. You park on the street.
Yeah, you're parking on the street. The only reason you would pull in, like you said, if you were advised to do so, or if for some reason you were, like, if it was a big cookout, but you were bringing over, like...
You got a big thing you're dropping on, yeah.
If I got a whole bunch of stuff I'm bringing in.
But I'm going back and moving my car after I've unloaded.
Possibly. Or I'm asking in there, is like, is it okay if I stay there? Do you want me to go park on the street?
Yeah, if they say that, I'm not actually bringing it up. They have to address it to you.
Yeah.
You can't be like, can I just leave the car there? You got to unload. Yeah. And then if they see you grab your keys going, where are you going? You're like, I'm moving my car. They go, nah, you're good.
You're good.
Okay.
Then you leave the car there in the driveway.
But if they don't say anything, you move that car.
That's prime real estate, man. Driveway's prime real estate.
Also, what if they have a kid who's driving?
I don't want people clogging up my driveway. Get out of my driveway.
We've not even been using our driveway because we play basketball in it.
Yeah, you want to have the hoop available.
We just blocked the
Now, if you have people over, you can't be pulling into the driveway. You've just taken away the basketball game. You're on a basketball court.
Right. The update yesterday, you were referring to this?
From the Men's World College... Men's College World Series. How about that? The third no-hitter in the history
maybe
of the tournament,
it was just
served
slightly
up today by Arkansas's Gage Wood. 9 innings with a Men's World College... Jeez. A Men's College World Series record. Try that.
Try that.
Try that.
Try that might need to be a drop. That's pretty good.
Try that.
That's solid. We love you, Russ.
In real time, I could feel how he felt.
We've all been there before. All been there where you're trying to spit the words out and they just won't come out the way you want them to come out. You fit 4 in there? Can you fit 4 in there?
12th hole.
I think I can fit 4 in there.
We need something to fill that 12th hole.
How many cars can you fit in your driveway?
Two.
Well, if you parked real tight, you could probably fit 3 because I extended the driveway with cement.
If you get aggressive,
yeah,
you could get 3 in there?
I think you could get 3 in there.
I think 2 is all you could do in
mine. Going off a curb a little bit for the third car.
Okay, so you're hanging over the edge a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
If I back it up real deep, then you could get 2 in mine.
If you back it up real deep and a little tight, I think you could fit 3.
Okay.
But getting out is going to be a little bumpy.
Got some good responses coming in. We'll get to those in the final hour of the show. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. So get your questions in 503-864-6326. We'll answer them right around the corner. Let's get to the impact of this person still on display and evident over the weekend. We'll dive into that to kick off the final hour next on 1080 The Fam.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.